Welcome back, everyone, to the Hikes Peak Podcast. Thank you for coming back to the mountain. For the first time in a long time, we're talking about college football. The spring portal window has wrapped up, and some major players have made their way to new homes. We're going over every team's biggest loss this window, as well as their most impressive portal addition. If it's been a bit since you've looked at your team's roster heading into next season, this episode is the perfect place to start your research. Great episode for you guys this week. Let's dive in. We're going to be going in alphabetical order, so starting with Boise State. Their top player leaving them in the transfer portal is Andrew Simpson, their star linebacker for the last three seasons. Started the last two seasons, was a second team All-Mountain West selection in 2023, and he battled injuries throughout last season, but was still able to put up double-digit tackles for loss and led the conference with three forced fumbles. Even with all of the returning starters on the Broncos defense, if Simpson would have stayed, he would have arguably been the most talented player on that side of the ball entering his senior year. He would have at least received votes for Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year, but instead he is going to be heading to North Carolina to play for Bill Belichick, and there he joins an elite group of transfer linebackers led by former Nebraska star Mekhi Bayer. It's always an uphill battle for spring transfers to get a starting role. That's something you'll have to keep in mind throughout this episode, but Simpson has the explosiveness and IQ to do just that. He was streaky as a Bronco, having red hot and ice cold stretches of games, but even if he doesn't start right away, Simpson should be the second or third linebacker in line for the Tar Heels. And the Broncos' top transfer in from the spring window is Derek Ganter Jr., a talented safety coming in from Eastern Washington. As a sophomore there, he earned second team All Big Sky honors after a breakout 2024, finishing ranked in the top 10 of the FCS with 95 tackles. He's a hard-hitting safety with the athleticism and speed to make plays in coverage. Boise State does return both of their starting safeties in Zion Washington and Ty Benefield, but there is little depth behind them. Ganter Jr. will see plenty of playing time as he comfortably sits as the Broncos' third-best safety on the roster. Whether through his own play or injuries, he could be starting in no time once the season starts. Next up for Colorado State, their biggest loss from the transfer portal was actually an addition that they made in the December window, and that was Lewis Brown IV from San Diego State. He began his career at Colorado State and was really solid in 2023, was the Rams' third best receiver, but then spent last season with San Diego State, led the Aztecs in receiving yards with 620, and then after the season decided to transfer back to Colorado State. However, he's now re-entered the portal in the spring and has now signed with Baylor. If Brown stayed put, the Rams have several solid options at wideout with Armani Winfield and former four-star sophomore Jordan Ross penciled in as starters. With the addition of Kojo Antwi from Ohio State, Brown's standing certainly could have been up in the air. At best, he would have been CSU's top receiver, but at worst, he could have ended up as the fourth option. But now, with Lewis Brown IV heading to Waco, he will be in the mix for wide receiver three with the Bears, as their two top wideouts from last year are back. If he can use his shiftiness and jump ball ability to beat out guys like Kobe Prentice from Alabama for reps, LB4 could make big plays down the stretch for a Baylor squad that some pundits have as a potential CFP contender. As for the Rams' biggest addition, I have Moso Tuitele coming in from New Mexico. He began his career at Cal as a tight end before transferring to the Lobos and breaking out as their top edge rusher, leading the team with four sacks and six tackles for loss. The Rams do return some production on the defensive line, but the only player who saw close to starting reps was Mukendi Wakalonji. They also added Baylor grad transfer Jaquez Evans, making this room solid but not standout. But honestly, with Tuitele's track record against Mountain West foes, I'm confident that he'll be near the top of the edge rusher rotation at least. He's powerful, has a high motor, and is only getting better as a pass rusher since, again, he played tight end until he transferred to New Mexico last season. Don't be shocked if he leads Colorado State in sacks at season's end. Next up, we got Fresno State. They didn't lose a ton of talent this spring, but the biggest name, no doubt, was Joshua Wood, their sophomore quarterback. He spent the last 3 years in Fresno and had a really solid year last year as Mikey Keene's backup. He was used as a running specialist all season and finished second on the team with six rushing touchdowns and finished the year with a solid start versus Northern Illinois in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Most people figured that Wood was the likely starter for the Bulldogs in 2025 until they added EJ Warner, formerly of Rice and Temple. Considering the outcome of where we're at now, Wood would have likely started started the year as the backup if he stayed in Fresno, but instead he is going to transfer to Idaho, and his outlook there is pretty good. The Vandals have had quite the renaissance over the last few seasons. They struggled to regain their footing after dropping to the FCS ranks, but Jason Eck righted the ship in 2022 and led Idaho to 3 straight playoff appearances. While Eck did leave for New Mexico, the program should still be capable of beating Mountain West teams like they have in each of the last 2 seasons. Wood is guaranteed to start at the Kibbe Dome now, and I have high hopes for him. We'll get a chance to see him in week 4 when the Vandals take on San Jose State. And sticking at the quarterback spot, Fresno State's top portal addition this spring was Carson Conklin, coming in from Sacramento State. He spent 2 years there and really blossomed last year as a redshirt freshman, threw for over 2,800 yards and 28 touchdowns with only 8 interceptions, finished 3rd in Jerry Rice award voting, which is given to the top freshman in the FCS. So now it is down to EJ Warner or Carson Conklin for the starting job, but either player would be one of the best backups in the conference. So overall, Matt Entz has the quarterback room in a great spot. And with Joshua Wood out of the equation, Kurt Warner's son EJ is the projected starter for the Bulldogs. Yes, EJ is Kurt Warner's son. He's thrown for 2,700 plus yards in each of his seasons, but he's also thrown a whopping 37 interceptions in his career. Conklin has upside and accuracy that EJ simply doesn't have, which could be just what new head coach Matt Entz is looking for as he leads his Bulldogs into battle for the first time. I think Conklin will get some starting action at minimum this season, and he's good enough to potentially become the week 1 showrunner. Heading out to the islands, let's talk about Hawaii. Their biggest loss in the spring has to be senior wide receiver Dekel Crowdis, a big time pickup for them last year after 3 years at Kentucky, transferred to Hawaii for 2024 and finished the year with over 400 receiving yards and 4 touchdowns, and he finished the year with a 40-yard touchdown catch in each of his final 3 games. He entered the portal in December before withdrawing, but in the spring he did decide to re-enter the portal. If he had stayed alongside Nick Senekal and Pofele Ashlock, Crowdis would have been a part of one of the most dynamic receiving trios in the Mountain West, but instead he is going to transfer to Wisconsin. 2 of the Badgers' top 3 receivers are returning, and they also added former top 50 recruit Jaden Ballard from Ohio State, so Crowdis seems like an insurance policy if Ballard doesn't work out as their wide receiver 3, so he's either going to be a rotation guy for the Badgers or a starter for the second half of the season. As for Hawaii's top spring addition, they didn't have a ton of movement here, but I did really like their addition of sophomore wide receiver Joey Farthing from Youngstown State. He did miss 2024 with an injury, but in 2023, he caught 4 touchdowns and had 222 receiving yards, which is pretty solid for a guy that's 6'4" and a former track champion. Of course, Pofele Ashlock and Nick Senekal are proven All-Mountain West talents, but question marks do lay behind them. Besides Joey Farthing, there are several other transfers in the mix, like Brandon White from Kentucky and Jackson Harris from Stanford, but it's anyone's guess who the Rainbow Warriors' 3rd option is now, and it could end up being Farthing if everything goes right. Next up for Nevada, a really surprising loss here in Savion Red, their senior running back, transferred in from Texas after 2 seasons and really had a great year, nearly rushing for 700 yards and 8 touchdowns, averaging a scary 5.8 yards per carry. Theoretically, Red would have been the Wolfpack starter once again this season. The only player who would have competed with him for snaps is Utah State transfer Herschel Turner, so it is kind of a head-scratcher as to why Red decided to hit the portal, but he's going to end up at Sacramento State with former UNLV OC Brennan Marion now running the show in Sacramento. Plenty of running backs will get reps in his go-go offense. By my count, Red is one of 6 running backs Marion signed from the portal. None of them, however, have as much production as Red does. He should be the Vikings' bell cow for 2025, and it'll be fascinating to watch what he accomplishes by dropping down to the FCS after a pretty solid season at the highest level. As for the Wolfpack's best addition this spring, I have DJ Warnell Jr. This is a guy that's had quite a few stops in his career. 2 years at UCLA, 2 years at Arizona, spent the last season at Indiana before transferring to North Texas in December, but in the spring, re-entered the portal and decided to join Nevada. Warnell hasn't broken through as a starter, but his best year was in 2022 when he had 26 tackles and a fumble recovery, and his experience is very needed because overall the Wolfpack safety room is unrecognizable from last season. They lost their top 8 defensive backs to the portal or graduation, so by default, Warnell will be the elder statesman of this secondary. secondary. Whether he'll start or not is up for debate, but he could have a similar trajectory to Ketan Crawford, an underutilized power four transfer who breaks out in Reno and finds his way into the NFL draft. And at 6'3", he could turn into an imposing force at the back of Jeff Choate's defense. Heading down to Albuquerque, let's talk about New Mexico. No one too notable hit the portal for them in the spring, so I'm going to go with December portal pickup Keon Need, a tight end coming in from Weber State. He had 60 receiving yards and a touchdown catch last year. Honestly, there isn't a lot to go off of with Need, so it's hard to say with every other tight end on the Lobos roster also being a transfer addition and the lack of tape on Need. I want to say he would have started the season as the Lobos starter or backup at the tight end spot, but instead he re-entered the portal and ended up at BYU, so taking another step up there. The Cougars do have a clear need at tight end, but they also don't throw to their tight ends very much, so it's hard to say where Need fits into the equation. There's so little to go off of during his time in college, but if he's already in the Power 4, he must be a diamond in the rough. And my favorite spring addition for the Lobos is graduate defensive back Caleb Coleman coming in from Texas State. He also had previous stops at Hutchinson Community College and West Virginia. His best season was in 2023, his first year with Texas State, where he had 27 tackles, 6 TFLs, and 2 deflections. Head coach Jason Eck made it a priority to add veterans to his secondary, with 6 transfer upperclassmen projected to start right away. A few holdovers remain. Tavion Combs and Derek Moore are proven safeties, but no one's spot is solidified in this secondary. For Coleman, though, at 6'2", he does have the size that some of the other Lobo transfers don't, which could push him to the top of the depth chart. That being said, he's in a sea of names vying for a starting spot, so there's no guarantees, but with all of his experience, he should be a valuable chess piece if nothing else. Next, for San Diego State, their biggest loss was defensive end Darian Dalton. He's been with the Aztecs for 4 seasons and got his first extended playing time last season, posting 15 tackles and 3 tackles for loss. If he stayed, Dalton would have been in the running for the other starting edge rusher job opposite of all-conference selection Trey White, but instead he's heading to Washington State for his final season. And with the Cougars starting 2 interior defensive linemen compared to just 1 for San Diego State, Dalton actually projects to play defensive tackle for his new team. He's far from the only transfer addition in the room, so it's definitely possible that he doesn't get a lot of playing time, but he's an excellent run defender with impressive movement skills, so Dalton could end up starting for Wazoo. As for the Aztecs' biggest addition this spring, it has to be Byron Cardwell Jr. coming in from Cal, a phenomenal running back who also had 2 years at Oregon. His best season was as a true freshman, where he ran for 417 yards and 3 scores. As for San Diego State's running back room, since no one other than Marquez Cooper was allowed to carry the football last year, they don't have a lot in the way of returning production. Lucky Sutton has shown a few flashes as a bruising runner, and Christian Washington was a whiz as a return man a few years ago at New Mexico. But going back to Byron Cardwell, man, Cardwell is just a Rubik's Cube that teams have been trying to solve for his entire college career. After a standout freshman campaign, he's battled injuries every year since. If Sean Lewis can align those colorful squares just right and get 12 healthy games out of Cardwell, he can be just as productive as Marquez Cooper and then some. At his best, he was averaging nearly 7 yards a carry. Imagine if that can stretch throughout an entire season. If he's ready to go, Cardwell will start for the Aztecs. The only question is how many games will he be available for? Moving across town to San Jose State, they lost a couple of starters this spring, but the biggest name, in my opinion, is their tight end, Jacob Stewart, who is heading to Louisville. Spent 2 years at Sacramento City College before transferring to the Spartans for 2024. Put together a great year with 34 catches, 287 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And with Nick Nash off to the NFL, he would have played a much larger role in the offense. But instead, he is transferring to Louisville for his senior year. And with Stewart being slightly undersized as a blocker, his role for the Cardinals will be strictly in the passing game. They do return their second string tight end from last year, so Stewart won't be starting anytime soon. But his limitless potential and movement skills in the open field warrant him getting some snaps for sure. As for the Spartans' biggest spring addition, that has to be wide receiver Mason Starling coming in from Cal, a former JUCO product that spent the last 3 years with the Golden Bears and had a really good year last year despite only playing in 5 games, finished the year with 9 catches for 121 yards. San Jose State has to replace Nick Nash and Justin Lockhart, who are both off to the NFL, so the Spartans added 4 Power 4 wide receivers to their ranks. The exact order of these guys is impossible to decipher, but I feel good about where Ken Niumatalolo has put this group. Now for Starling specifically, specifically, like I said, it's hard to pinpoint where Starling fits into the depth chart exactly, but he'll likely battle with Purdue transfer Leland Smith for the outside receiver job. Smith has him beat in the speed department, but Starling is a polished route runner with great hands. If he finds his way into the starting lineup, he could become an all-conference talent right before our eyes. Heading to the strip for UNLV, they didn't lose a ton in the spring window, but the biggest name that they did lose was Charles Correa, heading to Purdue, as you may expect, as a lot of UNLV transfers have. He played in all 14 games as a true freshman, picking up 16 tackles, a forced fumble, and a touchdown on a blocked punt. If he stayed, he would have projected to be a starter even with the influx of transfer talent, but instead he's going to join Barry Odom at Purdue, where virtually no one from last year's roster remains, so it's difficult to pick where Correa fits into this. He is only a sophomore, but he was athletic enough to hold his own last year, which speaks volumes to his potential. Barry Odom can develop him like he did with Jackson Woodard. Maybe he turns into a star in West Lafayette. And in typical UNLV fashion, the biggest name they're bringing in is a monumental one, and that is Justin Flo from Arizona. He was a consensus five-star coming out of high school, spent his first 3 years at Oregon before transferring to Arizona. His best year was in 2023, where he had 44 tackles, 2 deflections, and a sack. UNLV wasn't particularly in need of another linebacker, even with Jackson Woodard gone. Marcel McDuffie was great as Woodard's running mate and should have no problem running the show this offseason. And after him, half a dozen top-ranked transfers will battle to fill out the remaining spots. But seriously, as for Flo, in an offseason filled with marquee transfer additions for Dan Mullen, Flo may be his finest yet. Like Corey Foreman transferring to Fresno State last year, Flo has unlimited potential and just needs an extended runway to prove it. If he can stay healthy, which is a major if, he could be the heartbeat of this UNLV defense. Our second to last stop is Utah State. Their biggest loss this spring is wide receiver Jack Hestera, who has had a very interesting career. Started at Colorado before transferring to Charlotte, then transferred to Utah State for 2024, and is now transferring back to Colorado for his senior season. He's coming off of back-to-back years with 340-plus receiving yards and 3-plus touchdown catches. If he stayed in Logan, Hestera would have been the Aggies' wide receiver one, undoubtedly. He had 300 more receiving yards than the next returning wideout, and he could have tripled his 2024 stats. But instead, heading back to Colorado, while Deion Sanders has the reputation of picking up an insane amount of talent from the transfer portal, he didn't spend too many resources at wide receiver this offseason. Two sophomores project to slide into starting roles, so Hestera could work his way into the wide receiver 3 spot. He's an excellent route runner who's hard to track down in space, which could be just what Coach Prime is looking for. As for the Aggies' top addition this spring, that has to be graduate D-tackle Naki Fahina from New Mexico State. He has a wealth of experience with 5 total years at UNLV before spending this last year in Las Cruces, and he's posted a career high of 29 tackles. Utah State does return Gabriel Iniguez as their top nose tackle, but nothing else on the interior defensive line is set in stone. Bronco Mendenhall brought in several transfers, none who stuck out as potential stars. So for Fahina, with all of his experience in the Mountain West, it would be a crime for him to not start. He isn't the biggest, but he's got quick hands and fantastic run-stopping ability. I think he's a guy that could become a fan favorite in Logan. And our final stop this week is Laramie, Wyoming. Their biggest subtraction has to be Harrison Whaley, their star running back who sat out for most of last season to get one more year of eligibility. Instead of staying in Laramie, he's going to be heading to Virginia for his final year. Also spent 3 years at Northern Illinois. Throughout his career, he has 5 straight years with at least 300 rushing yards, and his best stretch was in 2022 to 2023 when he had back-to-back seasons with over 1,000 total yards and 5 scores. Whaley was in line to be the Cowboys' starting running back, no question, and would have been a shoo-in for one of the preseason All-Mountain West spots, but instead, as a Cavalier, Whaley will come into spring camp as running back number 2 or 3 on the depth chart, needing to beat out incumbent starter Xavier Brown. If he can return to full strength, he's proven that he's a reliable bell cow with the ability to take the distance at any time, so I would expect Whaley to make a decent amount of plays in Charlottesville. And to fill in the hole left by Whaley, Jay Sauvel decided to pick up Demascia Harris, a pickup from North Texas. The veteran running back spent 3 years at Lamar before spending 2024 with North Texas. He was one of the FCS's top return men, recording over 500 kick return yards in 2023, and he had 193 yards and 2 scores over 3 games for the Mean Green before missing the rest of the year with an injury. For the Cowboys, last year's leading rusher, Sam Cam Scott is back, but he's more of a power back than a game breaker. Three transfers make up the rest of the backfield, with the other two being Max White from Iowa and Teron Kelman from Charlotte. If Harris is 100% healthy, he could be the missing piece to Wyoming's offense. They desperately needed a home run hitter last season, and while Kelman from Charlotte also has great speed, I'll put my bets on Demascia Harris as the Cowboys' leading rusher in 2025. That is it for this week's episode of the Hikes Peak Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. It felt great to talk about football for the first time in a minute, so get ready for plenty more 2025 season previews on the way. Also, our Mountain West College Basketball Transfer Tracker is out now, so you can find a link to the constantly updating list of portal entries in the description of your podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at MWC Connection and find all of your Mountain West news at MWCConnection.com. If you enjoyed the episode, rate the show 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on, or leave us a review on iTunes. Nothing helps the show out more than that, so any ratings would be greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening. I can't wait to continue covering the most interesting conference in the country. Until next time, I'm Jack Thompson, and thank you for coming back to the Mountain.